Are you a photographer who wants to make more money per client, but really are not too sure how to make that happen? Well, today, in the first part of a four-part series, I'm going to go over how I set the foundation for a really great sale from the very beginning. If this is something that you're interested in, I'm super glad that you've decided to join us on the Focal Points podcast brought to you by Enphoto. Welcome to Focal Points, an Enphoto podcast hosted by Dori Howell. This is the place to be to learn how to build a photography business that you love. I am a firm believer in the fact that the sales process does not have to be that complicated. And so many people out there are telling us that it takes lots of steps and lots of meetings and lots of connection points with your clients. And that's fine if that's the way that you want to run your business. But I know for a fact, and talking to hundreds and thousands of photographers, that isn't how you want to run your business. So how can you be more profitable in your business, offer products that you love without feeling salesy or pushy? Well, this is the first of a four-part series that we are going to go over what I've been doing in my studio for the past decade that has allowed me to have consistent four and five-figure sales and also allowed my clients to love what I do and come back for more. So we are going to get started with part one. I fully believe the sales process to have a successful sale at the end of the session process means that you need to set up the foundations from the beginning. It all starts from this point. And that's why I believe it's so very important. Some people call this the discovery call phase. Some people call this the consultation phase. It doesn't matter to me if you set it up in person, on the phone, through an online questionnaire. To me, the actual logistics isn't important as it is as doing these three things from the very beginning. Now, you're probably familiar with The Sound of Music, and you're probably familiar with the song Do Re Mi, right? And what Julie Andrews sings at the very beginning of this song is kind of my mantra when it comes to this section of my workflow. And she says or sings, "Let's start at the very beginning, a very good place to start. When you read, you begin with ABC. When you sing, you begin with Do Re Mi, Do Re Mi," right? And the song just continues, but it's the foundation of reading and it's the foundation of singing that she's talking about. So we're going to talk about the foundation of a client experience with my studio, and hopefully this will help you with yours. So, like I said, it doesn't matter. Discovery call, consultation, questionnaire, however you do this, this very first step, you need to establish the first three things. That is, one, I strive to get to know my client better. And in getting to know them better, I find out more of what they want from me. That's it. That's what I'm getting for. Yeah, you talk about vacations and you talk about kids and cars and traffic and current events. But my main thing is that I want to get to know a little bit more about them. I want them to get to know a little bit more about me. But the ultimate idea is that I want to know exactly what they are expecting from this session with me. That's number one. Number two, I need to establish myself as the professional in the situation. Sometimes we have clients coming in, and maybe a lot of times in your studio, who might give you the impression that they think they know how this is supposed to work and they think they know more than you know. You need to establish yourself as the professional and the expert right away. And number three is I need to set up a time so that I can get all that logistical information before the session itself. You shouldn't be scrambling to do this the day before the session. You want everything laid out beforehand. So those are my three foundations when it comes to entering into an agreement with a client. Get to know them a little bit better so I know what they expect. Establish myself as the expert in the situation that they can trust and lean on. Number three, have a time to set up these questions. Now, I'm going to be going through a lot of information in this podcast. So what I would love for you to do is head over to the show notes page and download the guide that I've created to go along with this conversation. I can't hit everything in the podcast. And so in this guide, there's going to be things that I may not talk about here, but go ahead and get it because I know this will help your business. All right, so we've done kind of the intro. We've established the foundation. So now, how do we do it? So the first thing you do is when someone inquires with you and you have a conversation or you send them a questionnaire or you get them in for a consult meeting, is that you need to you need to get to know them a little bit better. And the easiest way to do that is to establish some ways to have a little bit of small talk. Small talk does not sound exciting. Most people think they don't have time for it. They don't want to be a part of it. But let me tell you, it can be very, very eye-opening into the idea of what your clients want to do with you. Many clients don't understand the difference between types of photography. They don't understand the difference between different types of photographers. So this is a really good way for you to get to know them. So I talk about the traffic. I talk about the directions to my studio. I talk about what kind of business they're in, where they like to vacation, maybe stores they like to shop in. But it happens in a very, very organic way. I don't have a list of questions that I just go through, even though I do have that list in the download that you can get. But I talk about all sorts of different things. And one thing is the icebreaker. You want to try and make them feel as comfortable as possible immediately. And the best way that I have found to do that is to offer a compliment if we're meeting in person or we're doing it over Zoom, or if we're doing it in a online type of setting through a questionnaire or something, I might just share a funny little story or something. But if I'm seeing them online or in Zoom, the first thing I do is I compliment the woman in the transaction. If two partners are there, I always throw out a compliment of some kind, like, oh, I love your car. That's a great color. Oh, those shoes are adorable. Are those comfortable? Or, you know, do they hurt your feet? Oh, I was looking at that purse. I love that purse. Or just something. Compliment something. It can be little, it can be small. But let me tell you, that immediately puts someone at ease when you give them a compliment. People love hearing nice things about themselves. I think that's a universal thing. So I am free with the compliments when it comes to this type of thing. So you want to establish small talk just to put them at ease. And I do that just for a few minutes. It's not a big, long process, but it is just for a few minutes. Okay. So then we go from this small talk, what I call small talk. It might be a little bit different and you might want to call it something else in your workflow. That's perfectly fine. But the next section is really important, and that's what I call where I go to gather the information. So not only do I want to get information from them, but I need to give them a little bit of information as well. But for this second section, it really is all about them telling me about themselves. I need logistical information, who's going to be in the session, where we're going to do the session, the timing, all of those types of things. I need to know their preferred method of communication. I believe this is really important. Don't assume that your clients like to communicate with you the same way you like people to communicate with you. Does that make sense? Some clients still want email. Some clients prefer text messaging. Some clients want you to call them. Finding out their preferred way of communication just shows respect for them as a person, and people appreciate that. Now, that doesn't mean that your preferred way or their preferred way needs to be your preferred way. It can be different, but I am very clear with my clients that I don't relay certain information via email. I don't do pricing and other things, other important information via email. I might send them a text and say, hey, check your email, but I don't send that stuff out via email. I don't consider texting a real reliable way to communicate that information yet. But I let them know what I like, and then I find out from them what they like. And then I try and honor that and make a note of that in the system. But then I have three questions that I really, really want to know from them. So again, get the download if you haven't gotten it yet so you can have this with a little bit more information. Number one, have they looked at my website? You would be surprised how many people have not looked at my website when they call me to book. It's shocking how many people have not looked at my website. So I always say, hey, are you near a computer? Can you take a look at it? Do these images look like what you're looking for? And we can go from there. If they are looking at my website and they're saying, oh, I see you do this, but I see you do, say, all studio photography, but I really want on location photography. Is that something you can do? And the thing is clients don't always notice that there is a different skill set with those different types of genres, right? Then the next question that I ask them, which is so eye-opening almost every single time, is I ask them if they have hired a professional photographer before. If I'm working with young families, usually they say, yes, we had one for our wedding. So we know that they have certain expectations based on their experience with their wedding photographer. Well, portrait photography is a little bit different, so you might need to address a few things there. And then if they have hired a portrait photographer, I ask them, okay, did you enjoy that experience? Why are you looking for someone new? I really am not scared to ask some prying questions because the way that I do it is so casual. And if they don't want to answer, they don't want to answer. It's no big deal. We just keep going. But if you can find out if they've hired a photographer before, why they are not going to that photographer any longer, that will give you such clear ideas of how they want to be treated as a client, what they liked, what they didn't like. It's such an eye-opening conversation with them if they're willing to share that. Many times people hire me because maybe their original photographer went out of business or they moved into the area, that type of thing. Those things aren't any big deal. But one of my biggest sales I had was because a mom of a newborn baby told me, yeah, you know, she prided herself on being a product photographer, but the stuff that we got, I just didn't feel was a really great value for the money. I didn't feel the quality was there. So I said, oh, really? That's too bad. I'm going to take that into consideration. I do know that my products are top of the line. And so what I did at the session, it was an in-home newborn session. I asked to see those products. And as soon as she pulled them out, I knew exactly where they were from. And I knew we weren't going to have an issue with product quality. But I knew that and I didn't have to worry about it. And it was such peace of mind. So have you taken a few minutes to look at my website? Have you ever hired a professional photographer before? And then this question I love so much. It says, if I could capture the perfect image for you, what would that image look like? Again, it gives you a glimpse into what they're thinking and what they want from their session, which is so very important. Now, before we go any further, I just want to direct you to this new information from EndPhotoLab. You don't want to miss it. One of my favorite things to do when I'm presenting my products to my clients is to give them options that allow them to have everything all in one place. And one way that I do that is I show them the beautiful folio box options from EndPhoto. I can get them in a linen finish. I can get them in a leatherette finish. I can get the acrylic print on top or just get them customized with their name and event date. It's one thing that truly sets me apart as a photographer in my area by offering these beautiful, beautiful products. And you can do it too. It's perfect for wedding photographers, newborn, portrait, family, or pet photographers, and it's something that my clients absolutely love. And if you want a discount on it, head over to our show notes page at blog.endphoto.com/podcast and grab my 75% off discount code that you can use for your very first sample. Do it today. All right, let's get back to it. So we've gone over small talk, we've gone over information and all those types of things. And the third section, you need to go over what you offer. You need to let them know what you offer. You are in a position to sell them things. Even if you're an all-inclusive photographer, you should have different packages set up to where maybe you have a small that just has a small amount of images, then a medium amount of images, and then a large amount of images. And even from there, you should be able to upsell. You don't want your clients not to have an opportunity to spend more money with you. So as a product-based photographer, we know that that's not as big of an issue. We always have things that we can offer them. But as an all-inclusive photographer, you do need to start thinking about how you can allow clients to spend more money because that's why they're there, right? Different packages, different upsells, that type of thing. So I want to show them my products. So what I do, usually if it's a consultation call, I can't show them anything. So I've reserved this part for the session itself. And yes, I have shown products out of the back of my car before at local parks and that type of thing. I do not let them see their images without seeing products first in some way. I also have a hidden page on my website that I send out that allows them to see the products that I offer. And then I show them those things when we meet either for a consult or at the selection appointment if we do it in person. But I always want them to see these products. They need to start visualizing themselves on the pages on the album, on that wall art, thinking about how they will enjoy this in their home. It's not about the features like the size and the finish and that type of thing. Anybody can sell that. You want to lean into how they're going to enjoy it, maybe how you enjoy the products in your home. And like I said, if you're an all-inclusive photographer, You want to incentivize them to purchase your largest package. Maybe that comes with a piece of wall art, just one piece of wall art. And if you're not sure how to do that, you can listen to the podcast that talks about making sales easy for one thing. We have that at focalpointspodcast.com and you can see that. But you always want to have a way for them to spend more money if they want to. You're not being pushy. You're just making it available to them. And there are people who will spend more. All right. So then you need to go over pricing, right? You can't have anybody hire you if you don't go over pricing. And if they don't ask about pricing, it is your responsibility to communicate pricing to them. Don't get caught up in the trap of saying, well, they didn't ask about it, so I guess it's not important. They'll just pay whatever I charge. That will come and bite you in the back so hard if you do that. So if clients do not bring up pricing and you don't discuss it with them, you need to do that. You need to confirm that they've seen your pricing and that they are comfortable with it. So if you haven't set up a good, solid, comprehensive pricing program, please go back and listen to the Chris Woolley episode of the podcast. He goes over pricing very, very clearly, and there's a great download that you can get with that as well. So make sure you take advantage of that if you haven't set up your pricing. But at this point in time, in the consult, in the call, in the meeting or the questionnaire process, you need to understand that they need to see basic pricing and you need to get some sort of acknowledgement from them that they have seen it. All right. Then this is the fun part. It's you process and you book the people. If they haven't booked you yet, I usually don't go into a ton of real specific details as far as clothing and all that kind of stuff until I have money in hand, because then I'm actually on the clock and I'm working. But now they want to book. They love what you're doing and you assume that they want to book, right? But what if they haven't yet? What if they're still going back and forth? So here are three questions that you can ask. How does all this sound? We've gone over all this information. How does all this sound? Then we say, oh, this sounds really, really great. This is, sounds awesome. It's exactly what I'm looking for. Awesome. The next question is, do you have any further questions? They might say, yeah, you know, how did the digital files work again? Or what are the products? Or nope, I'm good. Here's the thing. At this point in time, just because they ask a question doesn't mean they're not going to hire you. It just means that they need clarification on something that you've discussed. All right. And then third, you have to ask for the booking. Don't assume that they know what to do. Because what's going to happen is you'll get to the end. And if you don't ask this question, this is what you're going to hear. Awkward. Don't let that happen. Ask them if they're ready to book. If the answer to those first two questions, how does this sound and do you have any further questions? If the answer has been positive and you get to, would you like to go ahead and book? And they say no, they lied when they answered the first two questions. And I know we don't want to call clients liars, but that's really what it is. Because yes, they do have questions, or it doesn't sound good, or it's not good enough for them ready to book at this time. So if the answer is yes, awesome, book. And I always say, when they say yes, get the credit card number, no matter where it is, get the credit card number. If I'm on the phone with them, if I'm in person, I will get it right then and there. If it is a, if I'm going back via email, back and forth via email, I will send that immediately. You want to get that as soon as possible. All right. Or I might even say, when can I call you so we can complete the booking process, and then call them and get the credit card on the phone. Because we know life happens, people get busy, people change their mind. And the more time that goes between the yes, they want to book, and the time you actually get that money in hand, a lot can happen. So you want to get that as soon as possible. So what if they come back and say, no, I'm not really ready to book? Wah, wah. Okay. Then you go back to the first two questions. Are there any questions that I haven't answered for you? You said this all sounded good, which is great. I'm super excited to work with you. What other information do you need from me? You don't want to sound like the pushy car salesman. Please don't say, well, what do I have to do to get you to book today? That sounds like you're trying to get someone's like, what can we do to get you in this car today so you can drive off the lot? Like, no. That's not what we're trying to do. We're just really trying to help them to answer those questions. We're going to have a future episode about overcoming objections because this is a real sticking point with a lot of people. So don't worry. I'm going to leave you hanging for just a little bit, but it's coming, I promise. But you try and get their money right away when it comes to this. And it's not a matter because you need the money. It's a matter of just that gets them committed. If they say yes, they love everything, but they can't pay you for a week and a half, don't count on that money until it actually shows up in your account. Don't future forecast that and say, oh yeah, that's coming and depend on that because who knows what's going to happen there, right? So I usually will follow up with some information on our phone call if they say no or they need to think about it. I don't mind sending a follow-up email, just kind of outlining everything. One thing I have found, if they need to talk with their husband, I totally understand that this is a big decision and he should be a part of it. I want to let that person know that I understand what it means to have to go back and just run something by a spouse. I have to do that in my relationship. We have certain spending thresholds, and if I want to spend above it, then I need to kind of talk to him about it. It's not a no. It just means I need to talk to him about it, right? It's a matter of respect within my relationship. So what I always say, or always what I don't want to do with a client, is put them in the position of having to sell this to their significant other because they're never going to be able to sell it like you can. So I always offer, I say something to the effect of, I totally understand that you want to run this by that person. I think that's great. I have to do the same thing with my husband, right? Insert that I can relate. I said, would it make sense if maybe I got on a phone call with them and I could explain this? Because I know that there's a lot of information here that maybe you don't know answers to or questions that they may have that you don't know how to answer. And I'm happy to do that. Many times the answer to that is no, and that's okay. But at least I've offered, I've let myself become available to them, which is part of being the trusted expert that we talked about at the beginning of this podcast. So that really is my ideas and my thought process when it comes to everything that needs to happen before a session. It's super important to lay this foundation. Think like Julie Andrews. When you sing, you begin with Do, Re, Mi. When you book a session, you begin with those three questions. And they are, remember, you want to develop a rapport with them. You want to establish yourself as the expert. And you want to establish some time so that you can get to know them and communicate all the intricacies of how to work with you in a more effective way. That's my three tips for laying this foundation. So again, head to focalpointspodcast.com to get your show notes. And also be sure and get your 75% off sample from Enphoto. The albums are beautiful. You won't be disappointed. I'm so glad you joined me today. And we will see you next time on the Focal Points Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget to head over to the show notes page at blog.enphoto.com/podcast. That's blog.enphoto.com/podcast. Get the download for this program and link to a wonderful, wonderful 75% off special for your first sample order from Enphoto. You don't want to miss it.